Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Final hour of our broadcast. Wait. We're going to take a little break tomorrow, but then on Sunday morning, bright and early, 10 a.m., flip on the radio, listen to your pals. I'll be joined with our Seahawk pregame coverage by Paul Moyer, Ray Roberts, Jordan Babineau, Michael Bumpus, and we will count you down to kickoff between the Seahawks and the Los Angeles Chargers. Big game. Chargers are 5-2. They've won four in a row. Seahawks have won four out of five. And so, important game for the Seahawks. And that'll be the end of the first half of the season with the conclusion of Sunday's game. So you'll hear it right here on your home of the Seattle Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. Ursula, I got so much stuff here.
I know.
And only an hour to do it all.
That's actually a good position to be in.
We had so much to talk about in Fast 15, and I think we got to two stories, maybe three.
I know. Well, that's because I...
so much to talk about.
I hadn't heard the soundbite from that kid that annoyed me so much. When people annoy me, I tend to go off on little long-winded rants.
It happens.
Let's play him again.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why don't you save him? He's awesome audio.
No. No. This is why you have to vote for the education levy in Seattle that'll raise taxes by hundreds of millions of dollars. Because this healthy young man wants somebody else to pay for his community college.
It relieves the pressure of like thinking about, oh, now I got to work. Let me take a break from school because I got to work first.
It relieves the pressure. Oh, now I got to work. Work sucks, man. Everybody else paid for my life. Okay, before I get to the big lead stories, I've got to get through some of the other things before the end of the week here. That O.J. Simpson, remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he really good football player. He won a Heisman Trophy. They went to the Buffalo Bills, and he was really good at carrying the football.
And he's also...
Then he brutally slaughtered two people with a knife on the street and got away with it.
Spent time in jail?
Yeah, but he spent time in jail for robbery.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's out of jail, and... but I want to say, though, for a guy with kind of a checkered past, he's doing a nice job of redemption.
Oh, no, what's he doing?
Turning his life around. He posted pictures on social media from two nights ago, Halloween. Hit on its Halloween costume. He, you know how they have the white coats, the doctors, and they have their names stitched on it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He had on a stethoscope, a white coat, and if you zoom in on the name, he went as a gynecologist named Dr. Seymour Bush.
How about from now on, we just ignore O.J. Simpson?
This is
horrible.
No, the 71-year-old felon was dressed as the doctor, and it's just classy. I think he's a classy man.
Did anyone go with him to this party? Like,
I'm nervous already.
I know.
Did anyone go as a proctologist named Seymour Butts? No?
That was one of the names that Bart Simpson would use when he'd call Moe's.
Yeah, Seymour Butts, yeah.
Seymour Butts.
A little tamer than Seymour.
The other one.
We don't have to repeat it.
No, we shouldn't even.
Halfway into that story, I was like, he's going to have to say that.
You know, we got
And this
that...
is a dangerous show because Dory has had no sleep.
No, I'm good. No, I'm feeling
you sound like you're like on the edge.
I'm feeling on my game right now. I feel like I'm running at peak efficiency. I know that Rachel Bell, she does that podcast, Your Last Meal. Have you ever thought about, you guys, what your last meal would be?
Oh, yeah.
What?
A mixture of my heritage. So Käsespätzle with cheese noodles and lumpia, Filipino egg rolls. And
my girls love your lumpia. Oh, my girls love your lumpia.
It's my mom's. Well, it's good.
Whoever it is, whenever we're at something where there's going to be food and you, is Ursula bringing the lumpia?
I'll try to make it just a standard thing.
Sean, your last meal? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I'd probably, one of my dishes would be mushu pork. I really love that dish. Hoisin sauce is one of my favorite sauces. What's that face, Dory?
Well, both of you. You guys know.
He doesn't eat Asian food.
I don't eat Asian food.
Oh.
And both of you have suggested Asian food.
Well, that's a real shame.
Yeah.
On your part.
That would kill me.
I would probably go with Mexican food. I'd probably, tons of chips and salsa and something smothered in cheese.
That really spicy, isn't it, chipotle sauce that you love?
I love it.
The hottest.
The hottest salsa.
I think I'd go with fried chicken. I hardly ever eat fried chicken.
Is that right?
Anymore.
Oh, I thought you were going to do steak.
No, I have steak all the time. I rarely eat fried chicken anymore.
Any particular place?
You told me you were excited for chicken fried steak.
Yeah.
So it's not a lot.
Yeah, why don't but I don't know. It's just not healthy. Not healthy, but your last
meal. If it's your last meal, you don't care.
Anyway, Edmund Zagorski, he was sentenced in 1984 to die in Tennessee. He killed two men during a drug deal. So 34 years later, he is still sitting there. We're spending a fortune on his incarceration. They finally executed him this week. And I've told you, I have mixed feelings, misgivings about the death penalty.
It was in Tennessee, right?
Tennessee, yes. He's still only 63 years old. But here's his last meal that he had. And by the way, he had the option of the electric chair or the lethal injection. Have you thought about that? What method of execution?
No.
If you ever commit murder, what method of execution?
It's just not going to happen.
If you could choose anything in the wide panoply.
I know, I'm going to turn it to you. What would you choose?
I don't know. Probably the firing squad?
No way. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, Gary Gilmore. That was a big thing when I was in high school.
Mm.
When Gary Gilmore was executed. That was a good topic on the show, by the way. Because several years later, when I first got this show, it was my first year on the air, they were going to execute somebody else by firing squad in Utah. And I don't know if it ever happened, but they didn't have enough people who were state employees who could shoot. And so they were asking the public if they were marksman rated.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Which is so problematic.
And I asked, and you don't know who fires because they put blanks in some of the guns. And then they put real bullets in some of them. So nobody knows if they fired the fatal shot because they don't tell the shooters. And I did that as a topic. And that was when I was taking calls. And I said, would you, if somebody had done something horrible, would you ever be able to be on a firing squad? And the phones were jammed.
I was going to say, I bet it, yeah, and they were lit up.
Yes. And everybody said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd like to hunt the ultimate game, man. But yeah, there were a lot of people.
And even given that, you're thinking that would be the way you'd go.
I don't know. I'm hoping it doesn't isn't relevant. Anyway, so this guy, for his last meal, they said it was one of the more unusual ones that they'd ever gotten. He wanted pig knuckles. He wanted pizza, pig knuckles, and that was about it. But he, oh, and tails, pig knuckles and pig tails. And then they did finally execute him last night in the electric chair. He said that that's much more humane than the lethal injection. And the thing I like about the electric chair, it's always had that nickname that makes it sound so adorable. Old Sparky.
Oh.
That's what they called it in many of the prisons. Anyway, he was electrocuted after he had his pig knuckles and pigtails. And his final words right before they threw the switch was, "Let's do this."
I thought it was "Let's rock" or something like that.
Oh, let's do this. Let's rock. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, yeah. Lots of last words.
No fake news here.
What else? I got one more before I get to the big lead. Big lead's almost
before
over.
Before you even get to it.
Yeah. Did you hear about this actor who's on the television show Better Call Saul? Todd Latourette. He only has one arm. And so he would audition for a lot of roles as a disabled vet. But it turns out, the reason he only had one arm was because he cut the other arm off himself so he could get roles as a disabled vet.
You're kidding me, right?
I'm not kidding you. He severed his arm. He said it was a psychotic episode, but he said that he thought he could get roles.
Well, that's so sad.
As a disabled vet.
Yeah.
And talk about stolen valor. So now he's talking about it. He said he's finally admitting that he did it himself.
This is a necessity for me to apologize. It's been so difficult to live with since then. It's been years since I told that lie.
And he says that he had always lied about the arm.
I severed my own hand with a skill saw. The state of my mind was a psychotic episode.
And here's audio of the show where he lied.
I was riding shotgun in a Humvee in Kandahar. We drove right over an IED, and boom. That was it.
So he claimed that he had lost it while actually in the military, but he was thinking that he could get military roles down the road. So now he's finally admitting it, and he feels bad about what he did.
They trusted me that I was exactly who I said I was. I was a war veteran. I was hired because I lied. I was dishonorable. I'm killing my career by doing this.
Yeah, so he says.
So now what happens to him? Does he lose his role?
Well, I don't know that he's currently. I don't think he's still a character in Better Call Saul. They're still doing episodes, but I don't know if he's still in the show.
He wants people to take his meds, so now he's an advocate for mental health and getting help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, with all of that, now I got to get to the big lead here, okay? Stop derailing me, you guys. I got a lot of news to get to here with the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
So the story that you just had in your newscast, Ursula, so a lot of businesses around Seattle, they have had it with the RVs that are everywhere, and they just are littering the city, and in many cases, they are on businesses, private property. But RVs being so big, they will sometimes be on a business's private property, but then a portion of the RV will be on public right-of-way. And the Seattle Department of Transportation has now sent letters to Seattle business owners because a lot of these business owners have posted no parking signs. Private property. You can't park your RV here. For a lot of reasons. You know, they know that there's drugs going on in most of them. They know that there's crime that's attendant with them. They're taking away parking from their employees. So a lot of businesses have posted no parking signs to deter the RVs. And now the Seattle Department of Transportation showing just how out of whack our priorities are, they have sent letters to many of these business owners around the city saying that the no parking signs are a public nuisance. And the RVs are something that the DOT will not do anything about, but they say a business trying to protect its revenues and its safety of their customers and their employees, they said that the businesses are getting letters saying that their signs are the public nuisance. It cites a Seattle municipal code that says putting up an unauthorized sign qualifies as just that, a public nuisance. How completely out of whack are our priorities in our city? Next up in the big lead.
The big lead, I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Well, we've been telling you about the heroin death sites that the city has been planning to put in the city and elsewhere in King County. And that's where heroin addicts can come and inject poison into their veins under the watchful eye of our loving government. And now it's been revealed that there are already dozens of underground heroin death sites around the city. And they call them safe injection sites where you can inject heroin. And they're not safe. Heroin is not safe. We talked to Shiloh Jama about all of these sites around the city.
Some of them are in suburbs and some of them are in more metropolitan areas. Some of them are in houses, some of them are in apartments. And let's be clear, some of them are under the bridge, right? And they have someone who's typically the responsible one looking out for everyone. Some of them are very well organized, like you'd almost has like shifts, and some are just casually organized.
So, and, you know, there's nothing new. There have been shooting galleries, you know, as long as there's been drugs in major cities around the country. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. Top trending.
The president has been just absolutely tireless in these rallies that he's having all around the country, trying to support Republican candidates going into Tuesday's midterms. President Obama just finished a big rally in the last hour where he's out supporting Democratic candidates. Oprah Winfrey was down in Georgia supporting a gubernatorial candidate down there. One of the things that President Trump's been talking about, and it does seem to be a winning issue. By the way, Trump's approval rating with Rasmussen went above 50% today. And Rasmussen was the most accurate pollster going into the 2016 election. Most of the others discounted Trump's chances much more than Rasmussen did. So Rasmussen's earned some credibility because of how accurate they were going into the election last time. And according to Rasmussen, Trump is above 50 now. He's 51% approval. So the economy, of course, being a big part of it. And the president is still talking relentlessly about the border and sending military to stop the caravan. And that's what he ran on. You know, he came down that escalator at Trump Tower in the summer of 15 and said, build that wall. And that was one of the main issues that got him elected. But another one that they think is a very winning issue going into Tuesday is Justice Kavanaugh.
Justice Kavanaugh was treated as unfairly as any human being I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like it. But in the end, they all got smart, and we got him on. He was supposed to be a Supreme Court judge like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, long before I did this. I used to hear about a man named Brett Kavanaugh, who someday will be on the Supreme Court because of the intellect, great scholar, great everything. And then he gets treated like the way he was treated. How unfair was that? But we got him in, and this will be the election of Kavanaugh, the caravans, law and order, tax cuts, and common sense. Common sense.
So those are the issues that he thinks is going to lead to surprising results on Tuesday. We'll find out. It's all going to be over about 4 days from now. That is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's News, and then our favorite sound bites of the entire week coming up. I said he's giving you a license to freelance today, Sean.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were going to be blowing out dead mouse with it, though.
Yeah, sorry, man. I have a license to drive good music into the heads of people.
Huh?
I don't know, man. More Van Morrison. Love
him. Okay, all right. It's an acceptable alternative to dead mouse. It is time on a Friday afternoon to count down our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio, Clips of the Week.
So one thing we saw this week is, even more so than before, the media losing its collective minds over the president. And we're seeing, especially on CNN, MSNBC, I do believe that CNN is the most divisive, hateful force among the legitimate, you know, I'm not talking about underground, you know, groups on the internet, but I'm talking about what's considered or used to be considered legitimate biz, that CNN's just the most hateful in the country right now and the most divisive. And then it's just gone into the bizarre, the tinfoil hat realm on shows like MSNBC's Morning Joe, where Joe Scarborough explained why the president tweets about baseball or makes jokes about bad hair days. And thank goodness Morning Joe can clue us all in.
Number three.
Because right now, the only constitutional check against this sort of abhorrent behavior, again, a guy who was sending a message by time and time again, tweeting about baseball or talking about his bad hair day there, that was done intentionally to send a message to white nationalists.
I truly cannot even begin to comprehend what that means, but that's somebody who's gone completely off the edge there, Joe Scarborough. Tweeting about baseball is sending a message to white nationalists. Good info from MSNBC. But let's face it, CNN, MSNBC, you want to know why the president calls them fake news? Somebody put together a great montage this week of the drum that they have been beating for more than 2 years now. And this is about the purest definition, audio definition, you will ever hear of fake news.
Number two.
Breaking news, a new bombshell.
One astrologer says this means the beginning of the end for President Donald Trump.
The beginning of the end of the Trump presidency.
Trump will resign.
Trump is going to resign.
Is this the tipping point? I know we've said it over and over.
You think this is a tipping point?
And over and over.
This is a tipping point.
And over and over.
Breaking news, President Trump off the rails.
There's the beginning of the end today.
The beginning of the end.
It reminds me a lot of the last days of Nixon.
Breaking news tonight, new bombshell.
This is the beginning, not the end.
The beginning of the end.
The walls are closing in.
The walls closing in.
The walls closing in.
Breaking overnight bombshell.
This is a very dramatic day, and I think it might be near a tipping point. Do you think this is a tipping point?
This is unbelievable. This is remarkable. Have you ever seen anything like this?
His presidency is crippled.
December 1st, 2017, you can mark it down. This is the day that everything changed.
We begin with the bombshell.
The beginning of the end.
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 In fact, if this were a football game, we're in the third quarter. May even be the beginning of the end.
We begin tonight.
I got another minute 15 of this, but that's fake news right there. They've been saying the same garbage for 2 years now, and it's just all made up. It's all made up. It's amazing. At number one, I talked with a 26-year-old young woman on my show Monday. Her name's Kate. She's just one of the most inspiring, courageous people. Diagnosed 2 years ago with terminal breast cancer. She and her best friend, Kenzie, went to the Seahawks-Lions game in Detroit on Sunday. And Kate didn't know that her friend Kenzie had arranged, first of all, they got front row seats, and Kate had a sign that she held up in the front row. It was just all so beautiful.
Number one.
Luke Wilson is my favorite football player. That kind of sparked the idea of coming to Detroit for the game.
Okay, but your expectation was to just go and watch a football game and come home, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Mackenzie convinced me to get first row tickets because we were like, if we're going all the way there, we should be in the first row.
Nice.
So yesterday we showed up to the game and we made a sign, and our sign said 65 plus chemo. So Tuesday will be my 66th chemo. It said 8 weeks of radiation, two surgeries, 2,325 miles or something like that from Seattle to Detroit, and then cancer can't stop at 12.
Cancer can't stop at 12. And so she got to go on the field, watch pregame warm-ups because the Seahawks president invited her. Tyler Lockett gave her a football after his first touchdown catch. And listen to the spirit of somebody battling terminal breast cancer.
I kept saying, this is the best day ever. This was the best day ever. It couldn't get any better. And then, you know, to me, your favorite player is just amazing. And he was so gracious and really sweet and took the time to chat with us. And I just, it was amazing. And I just, that, and then I was like, this day seriously could not get any better. I mean, it was the best day ever.
Yeah, she got to meet Luke Wilson after the game, and she's got great friends.
So grateful for her friendship. She's just been my rock through all of this. So I feel very fortunate. Sorry.
No.
I get super emotional when I think about how much love people send my way.
God bless Kate. Keep her in your prayers. Lots more straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. What a week. Once again, you, listening in bigger numbers than ever, sending me all these tips, giving us all these stories that we get to break, exclusives, thanks to the best and the biggest audience in local talk radio anywhere in the country. And man, I appreciate you so very much. Let's finish the week strong with today's edition of
Today's Sign That the End is Near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. We'll make this a triple shot here. A 7-week-old infant already has a large chunk of her college tuition covered, thanks to impeccable timing and Kentucky Fried Chicken. KFC in August noticed that Colonel Sanders' first name, you know his first name? I did know this. I've known this since I was a kid. I don't know why I know it. Harlan. Harlan Sanders is Colonel Sanders. And they did a check of BabyCenter.com, which ranks the popularity of baby names. And Harlan is 5,501st in popularity. In other words, nobody's naming their babies Harlan anymore. And so KFC issued a simple challenge to parents. Be the first to name a child born on the colonel's birthday after the colonel, Harlan, and you would get $11,000 toward the kid's college education. Well, this baby was born on September 9th. She weighed just over 8 pounds, and Harlan Rose will now receive $1,000 for each of the 11 herbs and spices in the colonel's famous chicken recipe. Her parents planned to call her Harley, but on her birth certificate, her name is Harlan. By the way, $11,000. That's not even going to cover the therapy sessions that this kid's going to need, knowing that mom and dad sold out her naming rights to a chicken joint. El Pollo Loco is what the parents are. Oh, man, I love that El Pollo Loco. We got to get an El Pollo Loco here in the Seattle area. I think there's one in Vancouver, Washington. I don't think there are any others around here. Are there any down in Pierce County? But, oh, that citrus rotisserie chicken, the salsa bars. You get those soft, warm tortillas, and you can pick the chicken off the bone. If you get rice as one of your sides, you can put that on the tortilla with the chicken. Oh! Oh, I love El Pollo Loco. I am loco for El Pollo Loco. But I digress. Today's sign story number two, a professional mermaid is being bombarded with unwanted attention from people who have become obsessed with her. Stephanie Norman is 32 years old. She makes a living by performing as a mermaid called Raina. She's a big mermaid fan. She has a $25,000 collection of tails, but she's attracted the attention of cyber creeps. apparently there are a lot of men who have mermaid sexual fetishes. And one told her that he wanted to, I can't even read this. Another one said, "You're delicious even without any tartar sauce." Now, that's a smooth operator there, that dude. Wonder how long it took him to come up with that line. Another said, "Hello, I would like to date with a mermaid, but I'm married. I love to watch you swim." This woman, she's a former elementary school teacher. She's had to call the police after being stalked by a weirdo who read about her career in the newspaper. And the people who stalk mermaids, they even have a name for them. They're merverts. So this woman, I don't know how much she makes, but she certainly has her place carved out on the web so the merverts can track her down. To each their own, I always say. And then finally in today's song.
Oh, yeah, ladies. And let's show them who got the number one club in the county. Drop a beat.
Oh, I love it when I can drop a beat to wrap up a week's shows. The city of San Diego has to pay a pack of strippers $1.5 million for behavior sleazier than what you would typically see at a club. You see, San Diego, they have an ordinance to license strippers. They have to get identification cards to show who they are. But the police apparently got pretty creepy. Over a two-year period, police came to two clubs, Cheetah's Gentlemen's Club. By the way, why are strip clubs called Gentlemen's Club? I know that's left over from some bygone day, but I wouldn't imagine that there are a lot of gentlemen in these clubs. But anyway, they went to Cheetah's Gentlemen's Club and also Exposé. And that's where the cops detained strippers for more than an hour, subjected them to bizarre inspections, and lined them up to take their photographs, all using this ordinance that they needed ID cards as their justification. And the strippers say the cops made demeaning comments to them, threatened to arrest them if they tried to leave. 17 women said that their constitutional rights had been violated, and they sued the city. And now a judge has ruled that the city has to pay the women $1.5 million. The city had been desperately trying to get the case dismissed, but no luck there. You know, you hear these stories every once in a while about, you know, cops busting strip clubs because they're engaging in some extracurricular activity. But it's always like a 14-month investigation. After visiting the club 35 times, officers finally had enough evidence to make an arrest. I swear, those strip club investigations drag out and linger on longer than anything. And all of this is today's sign, the end is near. We got some football coming up on Sunday. Big game for the Seahawks. They host the Los Angeles Chargers. Kicks off at 1 o'clock. That means I'll be on the air at 10 a.m. Counting you down to kickoff here on your home of the Seattle Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. So hope you can join us for that. I will see you Sunday morning for Seahawks football. And I'm out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. But I'll think up a bunch of new stuff for Monday's big show. See you Sunday for Seahawks. See you Monday on the big show. Have a great weekend.
Look, your act is about as fresh as a Foghat concert.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.